Hello all, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu from Rusty Quill Gaming and the host and director of Enthusiasm. Today, I'm here to tell you about The Programme. The Programme audio series is a science fiction anthology podcast set in a world where money, state, and God are fused into a single entity. Every episode is a standalone story featuring ordinary people inhabiting this extraordinary world. And for them, it's not the future that is terrifying, but our present. The programme is sometimes funny, sometimes poignant, but it is always smart. Find out more about the programme at www.rustyquill.com or www.programmeaudioseries.com or search for the programme audio series wherever you listen to your podcasts. Have fun and enjoy the episode.
Hi everyone, Ben here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Patrick Monroe, Erica Kvistad, Tessa Wright, Rebecca Clayton, Ellen Furu-Markerson. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Hello and welcome to episode 76 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell. With me today I have...
James Ross.
Bryn Monroe.
Lydia Nicholas.
Ben Meredith.
And who are you playing?
Sir Bertrand McGuffingham.
Hamid Salah Harun Al-Tahan.
Sasha Rackett.
There you go.
Chris Optrick Act Amsterdam.
And we're all still in Prague.
I didn't forget her name. She was just coming out of the shadows.
That's fair. Makes sense. We're all at the opera. Sort of.
Against our will... You didn't even offer the clothes, did you?
No, so they were a backup plan.
So whilst hunting down a rogue necromancer in the lower city of Prague beneath the sprawling university, you have all found yourself at the opera house, basically interrupting some massive ritual and stuck with unhelpful managers who require definitive proof before they'll evacuate the opera and so on.
Yes.
I think that's a pretty succinct explanation. Also zombies.
Yep.
Right. With that in mind, we will pick up exactly where we left off, which is you have all reconvened in the foyer. Yeah. All of the patrons have just gone in. You could still go into the auditorium if you want, but it is literally your last chance.
Congratulations, you got backstage passes. Let's go.
Ooh, backstage.
And I'm just going to go backstage.
Does anyone else have knowledge local apart from Sasha?
I mean, it would feel really inappropriate for her
Sasha,
to know her way
Sasha, you can
way
give
around.
Me knowledge local, but I'm going to give you heinous penalties.
If this is to find my way around the opera, in fact use a perception check to look for, you know, the signs?
One thing at a time.
I would like to propose that rather than looking around as a customer, she is casing the joint.
That's kind of what I was going with. You're still taking the penalties because this is a completely alien one. Never come up before. Opera doesn't actually tend to have that much real shiny stuff.
Plus 10. 13?
You know it as well
minus
as anywhere
10.
Else.
Yeah.
Given that this is a high cultural environment, would knowledge nobility be an appropriate thing to
I'll also allow off? Knowledge nobility.
Cool. Oh dear. 9.
9? See, the problem is, you can find your way to the bar, you can
yes.
find your way to your seat,
yes.
and you can find your way to the changing rooms.
Yes.
That's about it. Why would you need anywhere else?
And your eyes skim off. You're actually standing right next to a door that says backstage.
Just so you...
Because you're in front of it, Sasha can't see it. But you're looking around. I just can't
where
see any,
is
any door. That
no points of interest.
Could
there's
he?
Nothing that my eyes...
Nothing around.
Can't
no.
see what a person of
this
lower
surprising
status...
surprising echo in this helmet. This is
strange.
Very strange.
Guys, just so you know, if you want to blend in with the crowd a bit more, I have alternative clothing for you, just so you won't stick out.
No!
Will that make us stand out or stick out when we're downstairs in the basement?
What a massive waste of time!
Yeah, right, let's...
I go into the auditorium.
Where are you going? We need to go backstage to look!
I think it's just you and me, Grizzop. I think these guys aren't interested.
People are going to die!
Yeah, they...
Time to split the party.
What is wrong with these people? What is wrong with you?
They got a disease called posh.
Do you not care? Do you not care about the potential humanitarian crisis? Whatever, fine.
I've already gone. I didn't hear any of that. I would have had a very succinct and convincing reply if I had heard it.
I cannot
Bertie's
believe this.
Genuinely torn. Like, he sort of knows that he should go down for the adventuring
these
to the
people,
backstage.
These people aren't even heroes.
and then is thinking about going into the Atour Auditorium because he wants to watch the opera. And he also, he sort of thinks that if there is going to be a grand confrontation, obviously it's going to be on stage in the opera house.
If I might make a suggestion.
What? Yes. Bertie takes the sword out and taps it to his helmet so that the sound conducts straight through. Yes.
So how it works.
He's decided that's how it works.
Your problem, you see, is it's never really been that you're nasty or anything. It's just that you always pick low-profile heroics. Go with the highest profile.
Why has he got a sword next to his head?
I think the sword talks to him.
Right. Can you do it a bit quicker? We've got to go.
Oh. Okay, while okay. Bertie just has a mental break,
standing
Hamid heads into the auditorium. Inside the auditorium, everyone is taking their seats, and the set is still visible. They've spent an enormous amount of money. It's probably the most expensive production that the opera house has put on to date.
Can I see someone on the end of a row who looks to be alone?
Yes.
I would like to go up to them and persuade them to swap their tickets with mine.
You don't even need to. The second that they see you have front row stalls, they're like, yeah, all right, great. They just take it.
I don't want to be at the back, but I want a seat on the end of a row, and I want to be far enough back that I can see a lot of the audience. I'm going to be in there. I'm going to be watching the opera. I'm not going to be paying 100% attention to the opera. I want to watch the audience too.
Give me a perception check.
Which dice shall I use? Ooh, that's a 19, so 29.
29. So, there is a good mix in the room insofar as you actually do have a few magic users, it looks like, and you do have a few nobles as well, and admittedly you have more of that kind of ilk towards the souls and the lower, and if as you sort of look back and up at the higher and higher and up into like the gods,
circle and the dress
and the circle.
Circle
and dress circle and so on, yeah.
Are the boxes full?
All of the boxes are full, bar the royal box, which is kept perpetually empty, and one adjacent to that, which currently at least has its curtains closed. How much of a knowing look.
Can we cut back to Bertie at this point?
Cut back to Bertie now.
Okay. Bertie is, he's having a think, he's genuinely torn. He looks at his ticket, front row stalls. It's the sort of thing that Hamid would do. Bertie thinks that he deserves a box, so Bertie's going to try and persuade his way into a box.
Okay. Meanwhile, Grizzop and Sasha, I realise you're still there, I just have to negotiate. Have you already gone off?
Yeah. Alright, so Sasha attempts to grab someone that looks like they're handing out programmes,
You are about to miss the staff.
Grizzop, do you think you could maybe ask one of the staff where the door to the basement
Take us backstage! Then show us the basement immediately!
Yeah, right, okay. Okay. He starts heading, he leads you around the auditorium, Shocker. It's a really long walk because it's a huge, sprawling auditorium.
Quickly!
He's going at his pace. Plod.
I'm going to, put my hands on his bum and push him.
All right, calm
Speed
down.
Speed up now!
Calm down, all right.
Before he had a mild head cold and you've accidentally healed it.
Eventually, he takes you back and it effectively just says, staff only, no further access to the public, blah, 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 should you need assistance, blah, blah, blah. He brings out his keys.
No.
Just
puts the key in.
Having a minor fidget storm.
No.
Get on with it!
Do you want me to.
You hear the sounds of the orchestra warming up and tuning.
Come on!
No.
Do you want me to.
It was that first one.
I could just.
In the background, the orchestra is tuning up, but they're tuning up by playing I Know a Song.
Sasha, if you want, give me a disabled device check while he's going through it.
19 plus 12
31. You just touch it and it pops.
Just as you reach out, you go, "Hang on, open. It's not locked." Oh, my bad.
What's wrong with you?
All right, then. Cutting back to
that was a roll so good, you changed the universe.
Bertie's going to attempt to charm his way into a box, so he is up on the first floor.
You are at the ground floor, but you can head up the stairs and so on. Give me a diplomacy check, because presumably you're going to go via the help.
Yes, and obviously this will be pomp and pageantry.
Naturally. That will see you into probably the second act, I think.
Okay. Well, you might miss the opening bars of the overture.
So that is a 17.
17? Roleplay with me.
Sorry, sir.
You really should take your seat. The overture's about to begin. I think you might actually make it if you...
Ah, but you see, no, I have an invitation from the Count himself to join him in this box.
Which Count? Well, we have six here today, sir. I mean, you'll have to narrow it down. If you've got your ticket, I'll be able to show you to the right seat.
The Count. The Count of Prague, you fool.
Oh, right. Oh, okay, that does narrow it down. Okay, if you just pass me your ticket, I'll get you right to him.
Now, Bertie does so, but leans in and takes the young man by the shoulders. Now, you see...
You are big.
Yes, yes, I am. Very, very large. What a pleasing aroma I have. Inhale deeply. Yes. Now... This is a really very expensive cologne. Mm-hmm. Only the truly wise can smell how expensive it is.
Quite, sir.
Sorry, have we explained, since it was 2 weeks for the listeners, that he just got exploded on?
Oh, he still smells like zombie bath.
Oh, he still smells a little bit of fish,
like dead
zombie.
Dead fish zombie.
Right. Dead fish zombie, yeah, basically.
Fish zombie, yes. Gangrenous, dead,
yes.
Rotting, putridness.
I picked it up. Yes, at the
overture begins.
Picked it up at the seaside. Yes, it's called Channel Calvin Number Clive. 5. Fish zombie. Now I can hear the orchestra starting up in the distance, young man. I wouldn't want to miss it. The Count of Prague would not wish to miss my company.
The help doesn't pass out. Carry on.
I wouldn't want to miss it for the world, and I'm sure that you would not wish me to miss it either.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, let's go.
Thank you.
Right, absolutely.
Thank you, young man.
Bertie tips him.
He
tips him where?
Gives him a gold piece and then dribbly tips him over.
He reaches out and you see him go, no, sir, I couldn't. I couldn't possibly. It's clear he thinks that your money smells and he's terrified of letting that anywhere near him. He shows you up. Shows you up.
Your money's no good here.
No, really, please keep it quiet. He takes you up to the boxes and he takes you past the royal box and past what you don't know was the box with the curtains closed to the far side of the royal box. Knock, 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 knock. Eventually, you know, an extremely portly woman comes and answers the door.
Excuse me, do you mind? We're about to miss the overture.
Knowledge and ability to work out who she is.
Go for it.
Countess, I'm going to put money on.
That is 13.
It's probably the Countess. You kind of forget. Look, she looks very Countessy.
Do you mind? Or is it my husband? Has he finally turned up?
Your husband, I'm afraid, has been delayed. He has sent me to in his place to accompany you.
Oh, of course. Evening at the office. Of course he has. And who are you?
I, Madam Sir Bertrand MacGuffingham.
Oh, you'll do.
Yes.
She opens the door and just gestures for you into the box.
Thank you, madam. Thank you. No, after you.
And Bertie just polishes the seat.
She heads over to the seat and sits down. You realise that while she might be slightly heavy, 90% of the box is filled with dress. It is a huge, massive crinoline abomination.
She looks almost appropriate next to your ridiculous armour.
Her hat alone is hung upon the wall because one does not wear the hat whilst the performance is ongoing, and its feather is obstructing the... Like, it is almost all clothing. You have to sort of shuffle past in order to
I see Bertie enter this box?
I'll allow from the earlier perception check. Yes, you see Bertie sit down next to some rich person unless you have the knowledge and ability. Jumping to Grizzop and Sasha backstage. Mm-hmm. The second that you leave the glitz and glamour behind... One, it is very, very functional in the way that you've come to recognise is, you know, characteristic of Prague. Mm-hmm. Number two, it's actually really clean and efficient. It's not the kind of chaos you would expect. Clearly, whoever's running this place has it down like a well-oiled machine.
Nice.
There's a couple of people in the corridors. They're in, they're out. No one's really faffing. You could genuinely do a complete scan of the premises quite quickly. There's not really much chaos.
Right, do that then.
Let's just wander through. All right, finding the basement is priority, I'm guessing, but, you know...
Basement? Yeah, I could...
You're too slow. Let's find someone else.
Yep.
Right. I'm going to go find somebody who looks like a stage manager and just leave him.
Or find someone with a black t-shirt who looks unhelpful.
give me a perception check.
I like stage managers. They make things
I've
work.
Been one.
Yeah.
Oh.
Go on.
Well, I don't want to find one then.
Go on.
25.
Okay. So, yeah, you wander around and your logic is, right, I'll just follow the orders. One person gives an order to someone, I'll follow the person who gave the order, keep going, you'll get to someone who actually knows what they're doing. It's a solid thing. Eventually, it leads you to backstage, relatively near to the stage itself, so you haven't been going down, but you are clearly meeting the stage manager. Whilst it's not chaos, they are on it. There's about six people at any one time always coming in. It's just like, okay, we need to cue set down. 3, 2, 1, right, set is cued. Where's Terrence? Terrence, what have you done with the lighting? Get up with the sandbag. And they're just on. Go, 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 go. They are a...
It's quite intimidating. Sasha are
they are a
lonely.
Gnome, but they are very busy.
That looks quite scary. So Sasha are someone quieter and less important where the basement
just,
is.
And I'm just going to go straight for the stage manager.
Do you speak the right languages? Oh. Did we ever establish that?
No, she only speaks French.
So the stage manager is swapping flawlessly between English, French, Czech and German, depending on who she's talking to. Grizzop. You were heading straight to them. Sasha, you were looking for...
Just anyone that was quiet and in a corner.
Every so often, she turns and says something in Czech to a very scared-looking, very young-looking person holding a clipboard who just sort of nods scared and then writes it down and is clearly some kind of PA. But we'll jump to Grizzop first. Okay, yes, yeah, okay, right, yep.
Excuse me.
What?
Paladin of Artemis.
Right, okay, great.
Where's
the set? Come on.
Oi! Right, there is possibility that this, show could go completely south if I'm not helped out in my work.
Okay,
there is
right.
Potentially
okay,
a necromancer.
Where the sandbag? Get that set over.
This is more important than that. There is potentially a necromancer on the premises who's going to do a large ritual
Sarah,
which will kill...
Sarah, where are you? Sarah, just deal with this person. The scared looking
I'm
going
to make a sway check to just not be fobbed off.
Yeah, go for it.
That is a 16.
16? It is not enough. She has... It's almost... It's like post-previews night. On the biggest, shiniest opera they've ever done, she has no time for you. Maybe in any other context, but that said, the Sarah person overhears you just trying to talk into what has become the noise of her just giving orders, and comes in and goes, listen, I can probably...
Are you important enough to deal with this if people die?
Yes.
Ryan, brilliant.
What?
Yes, there's a necromancer who might be doing a ritual on this opera house which will kill everybody in the building.
It's Don Giovanni's fiction. I don't understand.
Real necromancer from the University of Prague. I've been sent here. I'm a paladin of Artemis. He's got
a
bounty on his head.
The ID. Right, okay. Please come with me. She hurries off and hurries for a change, okay. For once. Leads you to basically a little nook.
Okay.
So Sasha notices that something other and is very... The relief on her face and not having to start a conversation with a stranger is just like... It's like a light appeared in the sky and then was, you know, wonderfully and happily was blocked out by the moon. Creating shadow that she could sneak through comfortably.
As of course, the actual stage moon starts arcing
so
through the
massive
background.
You say you'd have a social eclipse of the heart.
Not an edit, guys. That's a lot of appreciation.
That's
really good.
That one stays. Okay, yeah, so yeah, basically, Sarah leads you into Lil Nook and goes, right, okay, so what's going on?
Is this guy that keeps... Zombies keep appearing suddenly every
right.
time.
Okay.
You are near.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it is actually when we're near. Yes, right, Grizzle. And it's bad, and he's Kafka, and he's deadly. He's got a book. It's bad.
This might be the
her charisma is not high.
This might be the central point of a ritual that he's trying to destroy Prague with. So we need access to all areas. We need a map of the area so that we can expect anywhere that might have zombies. Do you know if this is built on a plague pit? Now!
She just freezes.
Should I be talking to the stage manager right now?
That gets through. They're like, what has been that sort of obsequience and so on that has been up there? Just goes, she drops, she looks at you incredibly cold and goes... I'm pretty certain that I can deal with this.
Then get
right,
with it.
Pulls up some sleeves. Right, so you need maps. Okay, fine. Let's get... And she just goes off on one. Cuts
but
to...
But just really, like, viciously.
Oh, really viciously. She's incredibly efficient and vicious with it because that stage manager is standing between her and the job she should have had, she is muttering while she's giving it out. So, Hamid, you're watching the show and it begins. And you have seen Don Giovanni before. Of course, you're not a fool. But it's an excellent production. It's genuinely fantastic. And your sister steps forward for her aria and begins to sing. And it is fantastic.
I fail to keep my watch on all the other important points in the audience. I really try. I want to keep an eye on the other magic users. I want to keep an eye on the suspicious box.
She's genuinely.
I just can't.
This isn't just because it's your family. She's genuinely spellbinding. The entire room
mechanically
is
spellbinding.
Ooh. Will saves.
The entire room is just agog. They're honestly, they're just 100% homed in on her.
I am starting to cry.
Bertie.
Not necessarily at the content. I don't know if this is a sad song or not, but just at the beauty of her performance.
For the first time, the diatribe of hate and visceral anger from the Countess about her husband has died down while she listens to her, and her face kind of slackens and she's quite, you know, quite on board with it. Give me a will save.
Mm-hmm. 14.
It's very, very good. The rest of the world seems to sort of drop away while she's singing. It is absolutely fantastic. And we'll take a break there and be back in a couple of minutes.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
And welcome back. So, with Hamid and Bertie having a wonderful time, it's brilliant.
I haven't made my will save yet. I can attempt to do one.
You don't
any point.
Get one in
this context. That's not how the mechanics work.
But that is what you get when you make all of those bowling puns one episode ago.
I don't remember that.
It's all
you must
think
of something else.
Bowling puns?
I don't remember any bowling puns. Would you like to start making some bowling puns?
Moving
Alex?
Into the back.
There's a really good alley
stage.
Called Super Bowl in Croydon that I've heard of. Do you want to start talking about that?
Yeah.
It's weird. Sarah, who's been really helpful to this point, suddenly twitches momentarily. She carries on, but you get the sense that you're on borrowed time.
Well, she just had an aneurysm.
Apparently so. It's a meta aneurysm. They're rare, but deadly. So she basically brings up everything that you need. Maps, she can tell you where everyone is, and so on. And she's got all riled up, pulled up her sleeves. You hear the stage manager just once going, Sarah, Sarah, and she just goes, pfft.
So, looking at the look on her face, if you were to do a dark ritual trying to kill everyone in this building, where would you do it?
Flooded basements.
Okay, right.
Let's go there, then.
Good to know. And I'll give her a look, being like, I am a paladin.
Yeah.
She immediately starts leading you. You would never have found this on your own. Even though it's like efficient and well made, the place is massive. And it does that theatre thing where, like, from the public facing side, it's sort of cavernous but simple, but it's deeper than you could possibly guess. They have staging from 70 shows ago kept just in case. Like, it's,
if it's any a theatre of any age, it's been extended and bits have been knocked off and bits have been moved around so like that sometimes there's just a ladder that's held on by duct tape and you don't think, you try really hard not to think about it, old Fire Station Oxford. Like, even though you go back again and again to put on different shows, it's just like, nope, every time you climb down and you see the bit of duct tape, you think, not thinking about it.
At one point, you walk past an open doorway and see there's actually another theatre in there. It's small, it's kind of pokey, but there is a genuine another theatre in there.
It's been pregnant.
But she keeps going, and then she leads you down to a final basement, and she's, right, so this is the lowest room. This was actually in the original opera house, but it started to flood, and eventually they decided to build up because it was easier than trying to damp-proof it. This is as low as you're going to get in the room.
Right, so look, since you seem to have a bit of a hobby of it, have you noticed anything deadly or spooky around here? Like anyone sneaking around painting like evil symbols on the floor? I don't really know how necromancy works.
She just looks at you and goes, gives you a pitying look, not insulting, but it's an opera house full of creative divas. Of course I've seen spooky things. Of course, like, people just dress up in masks to go have romantic trysts. Someone else is probably planning to assassinate the lead oboist. It's theatre. It's just how it is.
Right, well...
Imagine a den of thieves. Now dress it up nice. That's what this place is.
That's not what a den of thieves is like.
Sure, yeah, like you know.
Okay.
There's honour amongst thieves.
Ooh, we're just less socially adept. I've never had a mask like this.
So, I mean, this is what you needed, right? Is there anything else I can...
No, that's fine.
That's good, unless there's anywhere else that might be deadly.
Right, just okay. Prep for an evacuation at short notice.
You see that bell pull? You've gone past a few of them. There is one there. There are two bell pulls. One of them, very clearly marked, just says assistance. Look, this place is massive, sprawling. If you get lost, find one of these, give it a pull. We'll know where you are and someone will eventually be along. Next to that is another one that just says emergency next to it. Do not pull this one. Unless you are, like, there is genuine, like, people are going to die right now.
Yeah, zombies, etc.
I've never plotted to I've never plotted to assassinate a soprano either.
Well, it could be a good opera about that.
Yeah.
She starts heading off. If you're going to assassinate a stage manager, let me know. And then she heads back up towards the stage.
Right, well, I'll keep that in mind.
I'll let you know my rates.
Hang on, no. Later.
I am lawful good. So we're on like a staircase of a basement that's
so
just like...
So you are at a blank corridor of stone. In front of you is a wooden door, which has a bit of tape across it that just says the... Do either of you speak
spooky
Czech?
Spooky flooded no. basement?
But if it says spooky flooded basement, oh yeah.
Funnily enough, just no as a concept is fairly obvious to make out. And it's just taped across and it's got a wooden door. The door itself looks slightly warped with damp. Meanwhile, the bell pulls are on either side of the door, which you've noticed in a lot of these rooms is the way it seems to work out. It's currently closed, and it may even be jammed with the damp, but it is a rotten-looking door.
Can you see in the dark?
No.
Right.
But I have nothing of use.
I ain't got any torches, because I can.
All right, well, don't worry. I hide in the dark as well.
Right, okay.
Try and open the door.
Okay. Give me... Are you just trying to open it normally?
Well, I'm going to try first.
Sure, sure. Yeah, it's jammed. It's wedged shut. It doesn't even feel particularly locked. It feels like it's warped with damp and just sealed.
Sure, we'll kick it.
Give me a strength check.
I've got a critical fail and it's minus one.
Critical fail and it's minus one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh, a zero,
she just rolled a zero.
Yay.
Describe what kind of a kick you're going for.
Like one of those cool, you sort of you stand up and she'd lean sideways and then like a
karate
kickboxer
kick.
Yeah.
Ah, great.
Karate kick. But like
so you
it'd be
line
right
it up.
At the lock point.
Yeah, you line it up, you know exactly where to plant it. This isn't your first door kick. And you smack it square and perfectly. Your foot goes straight through the completely rotten wood. It then just pulls away from the doorway and pulls down and overbalances and pulls you with it down into the darkness.
Ah!
I am going to cut to
Bertie. Actually, I feel terrible. She'd never scream. Go quietly into the night.
Do go quietly into that good night. People might be watching.
I just really like it in the dark quiet.
So, Bertie, give me a perception check.
Yep, two.
Two. Brilliant.
The opera is happening.
So the
music is that way.
Yeah.
The one who's presumably Hamid's sister, I mean, it looks like Hamid in a dress, finishes singing. And everyone just stands and gives a rapturous applause, even though, you know, the show is barely begun. Everyone's already standing ovation. She has to wave them down and is, you know, thanking and then heads off. Meanwhile, the flustered countess sort of pulls herself back together and sort of looks at you sideways and goes, "So, which one are you, then?"
"I am Sir Bertrand MacGuffingham. Yes, noble knight.
She sort of gets her hand and then gets a bit of an evil glint in her eye and sort of does, you know, that finger walking over the top flirt thing that you see all the time in movies. She sort of walks her fingers over till they find themselves upon your hand and goes, "You're a big one, aren't you, sir?" It was Sir, wasn't it?
Indeed, yes, Sir Bertrand MacGuffingham.
What a specimen of a man.
Rolling with the very low perception check, Bertie is not picking up on any of this.
I'm glad you see where I'm going with this.
Yes. Yes, well, you see, I have a
Bear in mind, you are in an opera that's going on.
Yes, well, he's doing this. I mean, he's.
Sotto voce.
Yes.
Then B. Sotto voce.
Well, yes, of course.
Look, do that now.
Look at the technology. Yes. Well, it runs in my family, you see, all the way back to Sir Everard MacGuffingham.
Sir Everard, really?
Always been six
foot. She reaches up, and you don't notice as she begins to unclip your armour on the nearest shoulder.
Yes, of course, always. Of course, it assists with the heroing, you know, because you have greater reach. Yes, the adventuring of greater reach with the sword, you know.
Me,
you
yes.
can pick things
Such
off
a big sword.
High shelves as well, you know.
She then reaches out and around your shoulder unclips the other shoulder pad without you noticing. I'm cutting to Hamid. You eventually come to. Give me a knowledge arcana.
My sister a bard. Do I have to disown her? 14.
14 total?
Yep, because I rolled a 2.
Something fishy. Summit fishy.
She's just really good.
I mean, let's put it this way. What you think might have happened, she might have been getting some magical coaching. You've heard of it. I mean, sometimes it has to happen. You know, the great master Otochun will occasionally tweak.
Yeah, that's worse than every single bowling pun put together.
I enjoyed that.
But yeah, the show continues, and it is excellent, but it's very clear everyone is here for one person, and it's for your sister, because the rest are excellent, but she was genuinely on another level. But beyond that, yeah, it's fine. Give me a perception check.
18.
18. There are two suspicious points of interest. Number one, the curtains that are closed on the box clearly twitch, and you see a pale hand reach out and grip the banister. Meanwhile, you also see Bertie draped in Countess. So far, he is missing both his shoulder pauldrons, his helmet has been taken off, and he clearly hasn't twigged that anything unusual is happening, and she's working on getting that breastplate undone.
She's probably just checking me for lice.
So leave us what happened with the horses.
I am going to slip out of my seat, duck into the shadows on the side, cast message targeting Bertie, and then begin to sneak up to the box where... and the box next door.
What do you message?
I don't, Bertie. I just cast it.
Ah, so you're prepped and good to go. Okay, I'm going to cut back to the basement.
So it won't work whilst I'm out of range, but once I get back in range, I think it'll still be active.
I'll allow it. Cutting to Sasha. You fall. You fall immediately through rotten stairs. Taking 10 falling damage.
Ooh.
It's nails and rotten wood and stuff. You land with a splash. The water's not especially deep. It's not even deep enough to break your fall or anything. You land on your back. Ow! And it's sort of up towards your face. So it's maybe like...
a few inches.
Yeah.
Half a foot.
It's clear that they didn't flood in so far as it's underwater. It's more just unusably wet. But you have taken out the stairs leading up.
Right, well, I solved the stairs problem. And the door. She stands up. If you could tell me what's down here, that'd be great.
I look through the hole with dark vision, so I can see perfectly in the dark.
Oh, the door's gone. The door's just fell in.
There's a bit of light coming in from where you are, obviously. And so what you see is it's a very deep room, so she was actually heading down like a staircase that was built into the wall and it's just been rotten through. Mm-hmm. But you do see that it holds what must once have been costumes. On mannequins lining each side of the walls.
Spooky.
Some of them are in, you know, full regalia, some are kind of humble, but it stretches out beyond the length of your dark vision and the water is splashing around where she is. Give me a perception check.
That is a 16.
Sasha is sort of getting herself up, and she stands up and, you know, is sorting herself out. And you see what is clearly ripples coming from the very far end of the darkness. Just one or two couple small ones just ripple their way across the still now still water all the way till they reach Sasha's feet and then stop. Just a couple of ripples, but you notice them, and it definitely didn't come from Sasha.
There's something moving down there. I'm going to throw a rope down.
Okay, cool. So you're throwing the rope down again?
Yeah.
You managed to do so?
Climb back up. There's something in the water. If you can't see it, it'll get you.
Right, she grabs the rope and begins to climb up.
Sure.
I assume that Riddle ties it to something rather than tries to...
I'll allow you to take 10 because it's a bit meta, but nothing's just going to go blah.
And while Sasha's doing that, I've tied the rope down, so I've got my bow ready.
Over time, you see another couple of ripples work their way out.
Can I take 20 on the perception check?
You will have to be there for about 10, 15 minutes just peering and really listening and so on.
I would assume 20 minutes. I thought that was the point.
More or less, yeah. Like, I'm kind of paraphrasing. But yeah. If you want to dedicate that time, absolutely you can.
No. Does nothing come for her?
No.
Right.
Cut back to Bertie. So, good news. That heavy armour, it's gone. That was really weighing you down. It was hot. And it was in an opera. Why were you wearing armour in an opera? It's nothing. She's now sat upon your lap, but she's done it so slowly and over so many gradual steps that genuinely, you've only just twigged the level of draping that's now happening.
You've still got your greaves and your boots on.
You have armour from the waist down, which she's just about to begin making a move on, which is when you go, hang on. Now, hang on, I've just noticed something here.
Terribly sorry, madam. I'm afraid...
No, don't. Sotto voce, you're in an opera.
I'm terribly sorry, madam, but I'm afraid
oh,
I...
Don't be sorry, not at all.
I am a married man.
Oh, and I am a married woman. That's what makes it so delicious.
Yeah, but I'm really married.
No, so am I.
No, but really, really
I'm
married.
I'm a countess.
Like, I'm totally married.
Yeah, me
like,
too.
Really.
She is just not stopping.
Stop it.
oh, go on. just a little.
Bertie, he picks up, he's got like a rolled up newspaper in his bag, just bops her gently up the nose. No.
She just kind of stops and goes.
It's not the newspaper, it's the program.
It is the program.
Of course.
Bops her gently up and says, no.
Don't you know who I am?
Don't make me give you a spritzing.
Oh, please. Cut to Hamid. So you've gone up and you've managed to figure out the three sort of boxes of, you are facing the royal box. To your left is, let's call it the Bertie box, and to your right is the box with the curtains.
I am going to, pretty slowly and pretty carefully, because I'm going for maximum stealth here, just slide up to the doorway for the spooky box, and just gently open the door.
Give me a stealth check. Ah, he's an amateur.
They don't have keyholes, they don't lock.
I don't know. Is that true?
11.
11?
Wait. Also, someone's been in a box in an opera and has had cause to check if the door locks. Bryn! Oh my!
I always suspect it.
Dark horse!
You countess, you.
Oh my!
Really tricky to get a dark horse into the opera. It's even more difficult to persuade it to stay. That's why you need to lock it in.
So, you open the door
really
and
disrupts
begin
the opera.
To push it open. At the exact same moment, Bertie comes bursting out of the other one, and the countess, standing formidably in the doorway, is throwing pieces of armour at him. If you're not here for keep me company, why are you here at all? Ding! Just get out, honestly. What are you doing here?
The simple
for goodness
appreciation
sake.
Of opera, madam.
The simple appreciation of the female form is an equally valid expression. Of course, this is rather loud.
I politely disagree with that statement.
Ding, ding, as armor's flying against the back wall. The door you have, you open, you just turn. And then you turn back, and a very pallid-looking man is standing there, very intimidating, with windswept hair and a big flowing white gown and big cloak behind him. He stands, looks at you, and says, "Who are you?" You notice he's not wearing any trousers. You also notice there is another woman who is equally scantily clad in the box, behind him. The Countess hears the talk, turns and goes, Geoffrey? Geoffrey! What are you doing? His pale demeanour gets even more pale. He turns, looks, and then sprints, just flees the box.
But with his bum out?
Of course.
Okay.
The presumably Count bombs off in the direction, pushing past you and running, trying to pull his trousers on as he runs down. The Countess starts running and attempts to grab one of your pieces of armour, presumably to beat
no,
him.
No. Bertie takes the armour back.
Yeah, she's fine. She's chasing after him. Meanwhile, a very, very creepy voice, a very deep, it sounds like it's in your ears, even though it's not, comes from presumably everywhere at once. Grizzop and Sasha, even you hear it.
Hello, bra.
Oh no, we've screwed it up!
And we'll end the episode there. Slightly anticlimactic.
Scared now.
It's almost like the closed box overseeing things was slightly too obvious a play there.
Yeah.
This man has no sense of the theatrical.
Well, he blooming well does. He had a villainous sex hand that popped out at a mysterious moment.
Villainous sex hand.
The sound of my new band.
The necromancer. Villainous sex hand. Oh. Title of my burlesque act. The necromancer has no sense of the theatrical and frankly should have been in this box, and I will not be participating in any more of his evil plans.
Hello Prague works much better than like Hello Milton Keynes. I'm glad we've had it set here.
And as we return to what I'm sure is a dramatically appropriate Prague finale, we'll see.
It's cool, like, because now me and Bertie are in a box, and what's going to happen is he's going to activate his boots of flying and I'm going to climb on his back and we are going to float down onto the stage.
Spoilers.
For final
spoilers,
confrontation.
Spoilers.
It's only going to get better, guys.
Right, bye, guys.
Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
Edit it so I sound both cultured and knowledgeable, that'd be great.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
I'm none of those things.
Everyone that brought their phone with them into the room is Googling Don Giovanni.
I'm not.
You're just on your phones.
Yeah.
Flees the box in the opposite direction, pushing past you to flee. The Countess chases in the opposite direction. At the same time.
Wait, sorry, chases in the opposite direction.
It's a check fast. Because it's deliberately Kafkaesque. They chase each other, they're going in the opposite direction. That's how it works. So.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe, period, Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun, and see you later.